I don't know how to pronounce your name, but I'm just going to go ahead and refer to you as Marcia, the little Jew girl. Were you friends with Anne Frank? Today, I just want to bring up the issue of your anti-war thinking. Now, the pro stance on the war is obvious, but perhaps some of your viewers are dumbass 95 IQers like yourself. So I will explain why the war is good. Now, we have the war in the Middle East, obviously, for oil. Now, let's not be stupid about it. And who here doesn't drive a car? So it's kind of mute to say don't take the oil because we need that oil. Not to mention, sand niggas never know much about their own politics. You can ask the British about that. I find that you're offensive to me, and that's why I'm going to keep calling in, and I'm going to keep badgering you, Marcia, because I'm not going to let you bamboozle the American people into thinking that you're the way, that you're the mainstream, you're a freak, and I'm not going to put up with you on my radio station. That's all I got to say today, Marcia.
Grant who?
Grant Funtuck.
Oh, God.
Or you can pick something else.
Oh, look.
All right, I'll be ready. You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This show is dedicated to fighting republicanism, evil, and defending the law of God. Today is Sunday, May 15th. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. Now, introducing the star of Live from Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai, Massachusetts, weighing at 201 pounds, the heavyweight champion of Hebes, the circumcised surrealist, the scourge of Limbaugh, Moshe Moses Moskowitz!
All right. Thank you, Reverend Vic.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Okay. You know when you say I'm like what is it, the heavyweight champion of Hebe or something like that? I was thinking about like dropping down in weight class to like what is it? How about cruiserweight?
Cruiserweight.
Yeah, so I dropped down a few pounds and I'm like, how's this? The cruiserweight champion of kike. How's that? How's that?
Okay, kike. Yeah. How do you spell that?
K-I-K-E.
All right.
Let's not do that because maybe it's not a good idea because first of all, I'm still a heavyweight. Second of all,
What? Go ahead. I already changed it in the script.
People that don't really know I'm Jewish might get offended. You know. let me rephrase it. Don't know that I'm really Jewish. I really am Jewish. So I'm allowed to say kike. But you can't. you're not a true Hebe.
Okay. No, far from it.
All right. You're not a brother. All right. We have such an exciting show today. It's almost like orgasmic, you know, the degree of excitement there is on the show today. You know, unfortunately, I spent, all my time last night getting drunk instead of preparing for the show, but, you know, there's still a lot of excitement. A lot of excitement got fucked up, but it's still going to be good. We did the main event of the show. We're going to have a 15 round, debate. Okay. About, Ward Churchill's infamous, essay, some people, or what the hell? Some people push back on the justice of roosting chickens, and this is where, you know, if you ever watch Fox News or CNBC, this is where the infamous Little Eichmann quote came from. This is where everyone is having the shit fit over, you know, that little you know, the little Eichmann quote, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to debate this article. The last time we talked about it, the good Reverend Vic portrayed me as some kind of like right winger, but I, you know, you know, we're going to just concentrate on this essay. Okay, that's all I want to do. I don't want to get into any. This is all original thinking here. We're not talking about any extraneous bullshit. But we're just going to debate the essay. There's going to be, and remember, we are heavyweights. Okay, we are both over 200 pounds. Okay, this is going to be blood. Believe me. Okay, this is not going to be. I predict this is going to go the whole 15 rounds. You know, I don't see an easy, you know, quick knockout. This is not. I'm not Mike Tyson, and nor is Reverend Vic Mike Tyson. Okay, you know. We are just big, lumbering heavyweights. All right. Now, also, first thing I want to talk about is before we get into the big rumble. Yeah, I don't know what we should call this. Like the you know the rumble in the jungle. The rumble, and we need to find a rhyme for our fight. But anyways. We're going to talk about Paul Wolfowitz's medal. First thing off, we're going to talk. We're going to have our. There was such our 20 seconds of reality that we did on the last show was so popular. It raised so much excitement. There was so much feedback. Everyone loved it so much that we're going to do. We're not 22 seconds of reality. We're going to do 22 seconds of the real us, okay? The real Moshe Moskovitz and the real Reverend Vic, okay? This is just, it's going to be us just speaking as we really are in the real world. It's like reality TV, only it's reality radio, okay? We're going to do, we're going to talk about the Donald, okay? The Donald. That's just, I'm just going to talk about the name, the Donald, that I don't like, you know, I'm having a fucking problem with that. We're going to talk about Paris Hilton's trademark, okay, that's hot. I got a real fucking beef with that. We're going to talk a little about Reverend Stang's trademark and how he's illegally taken my material and used it on his show and is profiting off of it. We're going to talk about, I don't know if we're going to get time for this, but I want to talk about Biba. Oh, Biba. She's like
what this. The hell is
Biba. You know, she's like the Serbian table tennis player.
What?
She's hot. But, yeah, we'll get to Biba. Biba is, she's like my. You know, it's like for middle class guy. She's not middle class. I'm not middle class. Middle aged guys like me. It's women like Biba that keep me going. But you know, but anyways. But let's start off with Wolfowitz. Okay, we got a hit and run.
Hit and run.
Okay. Start out with the wolf, and I'm reading this to you from the United States Department of Defense website, okay? And then he showed a photo of Paul Wolfowitz. By the way, there, if you scroll down, if you go to the TalkWarrior.com website, you'll see Wolf with his medal, okay? But anyways, it says here, Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz addresses the audience during his farewell ceremony on the Pentagon River Parade Field on April 29th, 2005. Secretary of Defense Donald H. Rumsfeld presented Wolfowitz with the Department of Defense Medal for Distinguished Public Service, okay? And it goes on to say Wolfowitz is leaving to head the World Bank. But anyway, you know, I don't understand. Is this medal for like a failed first of all, a fabricated invasion, you know, fabricated war. It, you know, we had to remember that, that Wolfowitz is one of the principal architects of, oh, of yeah. the war against Iraq, or the occupation against Iraq, and it was a fabricated war, an evil imperialist war, and not only that, not only was it fiction, but it was a complete failure. Okay, this is another Vietnam. Okay,
oh yeah,
it's not working. You know, so I don't understand what the fuck is this award for? He's wearing this medal like he actually did something.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be one thing if he, you know, the medal would be for evil, you know, or, you know, you get a guy, you know, they give Nazis, you know, medals for committing evil atrocities, but he's a failure even at being an evil person. So, I don't know. I just wanted to touch upon that. That's, you know, I don't get it. You know, I'm not getting it, but if I could just find the next topic. Oh, yeah, we got to do the 22 seconds of reality, okay?
All right.
And we're going to do that starting now. Oh, right. No, I didn't time it. Off, okay. Okay, I'm starting my timer. Here we go, all right? Here we go. 20 seconds, and let me just point out, this is 22 seconds of me and the Reverend, okay, talking. This is reality. This is not fiction. This is not us radio guys talking officially over radio. This is the real us, okay? 22 seconds starting now. Okay, Reverend?
Yo.
All right. If you don't fork over that $50,000 that I asked you for, I'm going to – I have photos – and everyone in the world is going to know about our homosexual love affair, our gay love affair, okay? And I want to know, are you going to fork
over 20 seconds, dude?
are you forking it over or not, brother? Mr. Reverend?
Oh, you're a sick man.
Okay, that's it. All right, that's... The 22 seconds of reality are over. Oh boy! Wow, that was exciting.
Oh shit, dude.
Okay, all right. Before we get started on the 15-round debate and the 15, and it's going to be blood. Okay, this is going to be blood. And spit and it's gonna be a mean motherfucking debate, okay? And we're gonna start
I think
you're
that. Setting this up to be too much.
What?
I'm gonna be all disappointed.
This is no, you didn't hear that. This is gonna be our egos are gonna be ripped to fucking shreds in this debate. Watch out, motherfuckers.
Let's bring it on.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Yeah. Okay.
Make a point.
All right. Hold on. I need to get some, drink some water and take a break before the debate, but we're gonna do that right now. Hold on. We are back. I don't know. Let me, before I get into the main thrust of what I think Churchill's argument is, I'm going to mention a few quotes at the beginning of his essay one that I agree with, one that I don't. But
okay.
But anyways, let me start out with this quote. On the morning of September 11, 2001, a few more chickens, along with some 500,000 dead Iraqi children, came home to roost in a very big way at the Twin Towers on New York's World Trade Center. Well, actually, a few of them seem to have nestled in at the Pentagon as well. Well, you know something? From the very beginning, there's this implication. This is implication throughout the whole essay that the Iraqis were responsible, that this was an Iraqi retaliation, okay, you know, for the crimes that we perpetrated against them, okay? Now, Let me just point out that this is wrong, okay? Iraqis had nothing to do with the attacks on 9/11, okay? Well, step in here. You got to kind of punch me there.
I'm just going along with it because, you know, I don't see how you got that from the article, but that is true. He's basically saying, you know, that some people push back, and he's using that as an example. When you create, you know, like a famine and hardships on a region of people, it doesn't really matter if they're from Iraq or Iran or Jordan or Turkey or Afghanistan.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
But he keeps making, just like George Bush, he keeps stressing this Iraqi connection with 9/11.
Well, that was
and it's just wrong.
Our last successful so-called war, you know,
okay.
and what we did is we just put sanctions on them to starve them, and it's
I agree. I agree, and I'm going to go on to that. I'm going to hit and run off of this, but I just want to say that, you know, I didn't like when George Bush made a connection between 9/11 and the terrorist attacks, okay, Churchill does not call them terrorist attacks. He's referring to them combat. Calls them combat teams. He calls these people soldiers. That's the main thrust of his argument. We're gonna get into that. But I really,
I'd like to. Yeah.
But I really hate the implication that. I hate the tie-in, the Iraqi 9/11 tie-in. I didn't like when George Bush does it. I don't like when Churchill does it. But let's move on. This is something I agree with, and I think this is important that I read this second quote. Okay, if the nature of the bombing were not already bad enough, and it should be noted that this sort of aerial warfare constitutes, he's talking about the Gulf War I. Okay, let me move on. He's saying that this sort of, quote, aerial warfare, unquote, constitutes a class one crime against humanity, entailing myriad gross violations of international law as well as every conceivable standard of civilized behavior. The death toll has been steadily ratcheted up by the U.S.-imposed sanctions for a full decade now, enforced all the while by massive military presence and periodic bombing raids, blah, blah, blah. What's important here, the embargo has greatly impaired the victims' ability to import the nutrients, medicines, and other materials necessary to saving the lives of even their toddlers. And Churchill makes a very good point here throughout the essay that the United States is really perpetrating acts of terrorism against the Iraqis, okay?
Well, it's not only the Iraqis. It's pretty much, you know...
He's talking specifically about the Iraqis in this essay. And I fully agree. And that's what people really need to understand. But I want to go on... here, you know what? I should have read this. Before he said that, he was talking about the U.S. 1991 U.S. surgical bombing of the country's water purification sewage facilities, as well as other, quote, infrastructural targets, unquote,
right.
Targets upon which Iraqi civilian populations depend on for its very survival. Okay,
so they bombed everything except the oil industry.
Yeah, yeah. They're targeting.
They gave to Chalabi.
Right, right. The United States was actively involved in targeting civilians. Okay, and you know when you bomb a water purification system or a sewage facility, okay, I would include that as a soft target. That's not a hard target. Okay. You're trying to hurt people. Okay.
Well, there it goes a lot deeper than that, because what they use for those bombings with the water purification plant, they use depleted uranium shells.
Yeah, no, that's another thing.
And we're literally in a nuclear war at the moment, because as long as we use those munitions, it's omnicidal.
I know.
It will kill our soldiers. It's a messy, messy thing. And
right.
No one takes into account, you know, that.
No, I fully agree with that. And anyways, let's move on to what I believe is the main thrust of Churchill's argument.
Okay.
The stuff about the little Eichmann, that's not important. Okay. This is the main thrust, okay? Now, he says here, he's talking about here. Here's a quote. Less is it one peculiar to Islam. Indeed, even the FBI's investigative reports on the combat teams. And he mentions combat teams throughout this article like three times.
Uh-huh.
These terrorists, he calls these terrorists a combat team, okay? It reports on the combat team's activities during the month leading up to September 11th, make it clear that the members were not fundamentalist Muslims. Rather, it's pretty obvious at this point that they were secular activists, soldiers, really. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sorry, but I really find this offensive. Okay?
Okay, go ahead and say why, and I'll kind of clarify, I think.
Okay.
Why he would make that distinction.
These people were acting on soft targets, okay? Now, you can make the argument that the Pentagon was a hard target, okay? That was a hard target, okay? But he's saying, and he says it very clearly here, that the Twin Towers were a military target, okay? Even if that's true, that if let's say, for the sake of argument, was a hard target, okay? How about the people that they in the planes that were used to, you know, take down these hard targets, you know? And But here I'm getting all fucked up. Here's what's going on.
I see where you're going, man.
He's calling this a military operation, and here's the problem. It was not. They were not soldiers. It was not a military operation. This was an operation for blood. He was acting on soft targets, and. You know, if it was really a military operation, you know, he would have taken out the Lincoln Tunnel, or he would have taken out a bridge.
A fraction of the damage. That wouldn't have done.
That would have created an immense impact to immense damage to our infrastructure.
Right.
That would
the working
have,
people to the travelers back and forth. They were going after the international bond traders, the most. You know, and that's where the Eichmann comes.
No, he was after, look, you know, he's calling these people soldiers.
Okay.
He's calling them combat teams, but this is not consistent with an act of war. Okay.
Now, first off, you have to consider that there was an official draft of war by Osama bin Laden. During the Clinton administration.
Yeah, I can read you that.
It was basically, and Osama bin Laden became empowered by the United States. We trained them against the Afghanistan. We funded them. We trained them. We made them soldiers. We made them tacticians. We taught them how to do this.
You're talking about during the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan.
What?
You're talking about the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan.
This is how we funded Osama bin Laden and made him the man he is today.
Absolutely. We are responsible for Osama.
Them as soldiers. So when you know, something comes back and hits us in the face, you know, that wasn't no. That was an operative. That was a soldier, and that's where the title, are, you know, when the chickens come home to roost, that's exactly what he's saying. It's been full circle. You know, we funded them, we betrayed them, and now they came back to pick us.
All right.
You know.
So are you saying that Osama is a soldier, and that, you know, the terrorists are soldiers, and it was a combat mission?
I think in their mind, yeah, and in some other minds, no. And
I'm asking what you think. I'm asking what you think.
I'm unsure. I don't know what to think. I don't know the complete facts of the entire, you know, gambit of the story. You know, I it goes a lot deeper than, you know, than 9/11. It goes a lot deeper than just this war against terrorism. It has a lot to do, I'm sure, with the you know, corporate. You know,
I need to answer the question. Sorry.
Are
they soldiers or are they terrorists?
I think they're human beings.
Okay, you're not answering the question. You don't want to answer the question.
No. I am answering the question. And it doesn't matter whether you want to call them terrorists or soldiers. If you push somebody that far, they're going to push back.
It's a very
point of this article.
It's what?
That's the whole point of this article. It doesn't matter what you want to call them. It could be, you know, white, black, you know, orange or green or plaid. Doesn't matter if it's a human being and you treat human beings a certain way for a certain amount of time, it's only going to be a matter of time until they get a good punch in for respect.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And you can go into you can try and deal with all the labeling and the propaganda and trying to figure it out for yourself. But if you look at the root of the cause, it's humans being. And
that's human beings.
Technology,
look,
the technology and the circumstance of the age, they got some planes and they flew them into some buildings. There's not much difference between that and what happened with, you know, with the Boston Tea Party.
No, there is. These people were looking for blood, pure and simple. They were terrorists. They were acting on soft targets. They took out. There was, you know, even if you can make the argument that this was a military operation, which it wasn't, okay, they did a lot of collateral damage, you know. These people were brutal, and I really, you know, I'm sorry, but
well, what's so brutal about, you know, killing people instantly when we've basically got, you know, sanctions that kill people slowly, and we were bombing the shit out of a country with depleted uranium munitions, where generations of people are going to have deformities.
Cancer.
What's more brutal?
Reverend,
What's
the question?
You answer me. What's more brutal, killing people all at once to make a message, or killing people slowly using depleted uranium munitions, or sanctions, or any kind of effort to?
I don't really think.
Keep people down.
I think the difference is only a matter of degree. I think that they're both. You could look at both of these things as acts of terrorism. Okay.
Right. You should.
Okay.
But people should.
All right. But I think that you should call them what they are. And this is terrorism. You're acting on soft targets. You're killing indiscriminately. Okay.
But that's the thing, is you're not looking at the root cause. You're not looking down at the reasons why, you know. And you can call them whatever you want.
No, but I think I think that, you really have to be careful about what you call, how you label things. And when you call things a military operation, when you call it a terrorist attack you know, 9/11 terrorist attacks, a military operation, that puts things into a whole different psychological realm. Okay, and I'm saying that's false. It was not a military operation. It's not consistent with military operations. Military operations have an objective, have a clearly defined objective. Okay, now, let's say Osama had, Al-Qaeda had continued to attack the United States using terrorist acts. Then you might be able to form an argument that this was part of an ongoing military campaign of terrorism.
Was, and you're missing the
But let me just hold on. Let me just say that Al-Qaeda. Hold on.
And the barracks in Egypt.
Hold on. No.
Al-Qaeda.
Hold on.
Well, Al-Qaeda.
Why is he saturating? Hold on. Why? What Al-Qaeda is doing? Al-Qaeda is doing is they're saturating the attacks all over the world. Okay? This is not consistent with a military operation. They're not targeting the United States. Okay?
Yeah.
They're saturating the attacks. The only real effect this is going to have,
mm-hmm.
okay, is on his own people. These attacks are not military attacks. They're political attacks, and it's to win him support with his own people.
Right.
This is not a military operation.
That's just that's a matter of opinion. That's a matter of...
No, I don't think it's a matter of opinion.
Let's go back to the Civil War for a second.
What?
You know, well, let's go back to the Civil War.
The American Civil War?
Not the American. I'm sorry, the American Revolution. You know, when the blue coats would take out officers, that was terrorism. But the Patriot. I'm like referring to a freaking Mel Gibson movie. But
yeah.
That's the gist of it. You
no,
know?
That, no, the no, no, that, no. That
stand in line and they actually duck behind trees. And
that was not terrorism. That was guerrilla warfare. That was guerrilla warfare. There's a difference. They were acting on hard targets. You know. Don't call it terrorism. It's not terrorism.
That's your perspective.
What do you mean? What do you mean, my perspective?
You're looking at like a hard target with somebody like standing there with a weapon or something like that. You can't do that when you're basically shunned by the world. You know, you've got very little power. You're in the middle of a goddamn desert. You got to, you know, it's like you know, they got to do something, and it's just that's what they did.
No. When you kill indiscriminately, okay, that is terrorism.
But what do you call sanctions? What do you call depleting uranium munitions?
I would call that terrorism.
All right.
I think we could
now
expand the definition to define that as terrorism.
But
we can't define that as a military operation then.
Wait.
It's not... Yeah, that is terrorism.
Semantics. You're
what?
Into semantics, dude.
No. Well, semantics are... Look. Semantics are very important
look at
because
it,
when we start throwing around words...
Beings. They're human beings first. They're
no,
human beings
no,
first.
No. These were evil bastards, okay? They were not human beings. They were monsters, okay?
I think there are monsters everywhere.
You know...
No, and you can say one monster is worse than this monster all you want, but the fact of the matter is you're human first. If you don't look at it from the human perspective and you can't deal with it from like, oh, let's put the shoes on our feet. Let's walk in their steps for a while and try and figure out what the hell the problem is. We don't do that here. We just say they're bad or they're evil or they're terrorists.
Yeah, he talks about that.
You're good, you're fucked.
Well, let me just read you a quote from this. He goes into that. Which takes it to the official characterization of the combat teams. Again, he's calling combat teams. He does that throughout the whole essay as the embodiment of evil. Okay? Evil, for those inclined to embrace the banality of such a concept, was perfectly incarnated in that malignant toad known as Madeleine Albright, squatting in her studio chair-like job at a hut, blatantly spewing the news that she'd imposed a collective death sentence upon the unoffending youth of Iraq. Evil was to be heard in that great American hero, a storm in Norman Schwarzkopf's utterly dehumanizing dismissal of their systematic torture and annihilation as mere collateral damage. Evil is, moreover, a term appropriate to describing the mentality of a public that finds such perspectives and the policies attending them acceptable or even momentarily tolerable. I think there's a lot of truth here.
Uh-huh.
But let's, you know, I'm willing to say that our actions against the Iraqis have been terrorist in nature. Okay? However, I am completely unwilling to say that, and if it offends me to say that, you know, the 9/11 attacks were a combat operation, because they were not. And we have to be very careful when we call things terrorists, you know, or combat or military. But I don't know. I think we're beating a dead horse. Do you have anything else to add? I'm going to move on.
Maybe if our tax dollars didn't go to funding their training, and maybe I'd say...
Dude, this happened 20 fucking years ago.
Uh-huh.
I realize there's a connection, and we invented these monsters. The Reagan administration... excuse me, this was before Reagan. This was Carter. Okay? You know, we are responsible for creating people like Bin Laden. Okay? Uh-huh. You know, there's been so many cases of people that, have turned, that we support, so many fascist regimes we supported. Bin Laden is one of them. We're responsible. That was a long time ago. And I don't think it's fair to enter that into the debate. We're talking about whether this was a combat, mission, or whether this was a terrorist mission. A mission. I believe it was a terrorist mission. And I'm sorry.
I still think that's semantics. It's
no, I don't.
You know,
I don't. Yeah.
No, that was very planned and very organized, and it took, you know, some thinking out, and
it's not consistent with the military operation. It's not consistent with the military operation. It had military objective.
That's technical, but that, you know, that may change in time. There's a very good possibility that we have a branch in our military that are doing very similar things, and, you know, in planning and organizing and possibly training more. You know, so who knows? I mean, I think that's a matter of opinion.
No, I don't. I really don't. But I think we're beating a dead horse here.
Okay. Hit and run.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to run. But first, we're going to hit, then we're going to run.
We still got to cover that. You got to show me what the hell this BB thing is.
Oh, yeah. Biba.
Okay, yeah.
Hold on.
I looked around. I didn't see it on your website, so you got to point me to a website.
Okay. All right.
Your listeners to a website.
All right, hold on. We're taking a break. All right, we are back. And what I did is forgot to tell you that the results, well, I have tabulated the results of the judges, you know, from the debate. Okay? And they've scored it. A draw. Okay, it was like 5-5, you know, 4-5, 5-4. Three judges. It was a tie. However, since I am the heavyweight a champion of Heeb, okay, I win by default because you have to, in order to dethrone me, you have to, you know, beat me.
It's okay.
Either knock me out or beat me on points.
I'm just glad to tag along.
You can't beat me.
I enjoy the conversation.
Well, you can't beat me through a draw. The draw always goes to the winner.
Okay.
So I won.
All right then.
And you lost. Okay. Yeah. Biba, what can I say? You know, when you have nothing to do at 4 a.m. and you turn the TV on, you're watching. You know, they just have shit on. You know, infomercials and sometimes you watch ESPN. You know, ESPN 9 or something, and they have the table tennis classic or some shit like that, and they had this and it's like they had like this. this woman, Biba, she just went by Biba, and she's playing this guy, you know, in this tennis, and these are professional table tennis players, just kicking his ass, and she's hot, right? I'm thinking, oh, this is so exciting. This is for like middle-aged guys to see some young hottie kick some like guys, some like real, you know, professional, you know, this is a hardcore athlete. It's hard to say, you know, athlete, table tennis player. It's hard to call them athletes. But, you know, this was like, you know, a virulent, a virile. Virile? Help me, you're the brain. I'm the
virile, yeah. Yeah,
I only have a 95 IQ, by the way, just so everyone knows.
Okay. So I need Vaskowitz.
You know, part of my host job is not only, you know, to Ed McMahon the show, you know, sort of smooth it along, grease it, you know, it's to help me pronounce my words, correct all the myriad of fuck-ups I make on, you know, miss, you know, I'm sort of like the George Bush of podcasting, you know, I'm always misunderstanding things, and, but anyways, you know, Biba, when I saw Biba, I just fell in love. I mean, it's like, it's women like Biba that keep middle-aged guys like me. I'm pushing 40. I'm almost 40. And it's women like Biba that keep me going. And I don't know what I would do without Biba. Biba. Her real name is what?
Biana.
No, it's... Oh, is that how you pronounce it? It's like...
B-I-L, actually. Biana. Biana.
Oh, that's how it's pronounced? Oh, like that's beautiful. Biana. But... And the last name's Garlic, but she'd like, just like to be called Biba.
Biba. Marketing genius.
Oh, I love Biba. But she kicks ass, you know?
Yeah?
I would love to have her kick my ass. I'd pay money to have her kick my ass. All right. I meant that in a good way, not a bad way. Not the dirty way. I meant that in the dirty way, only in a nice way.
In a maternal way, yeah, right? Yeah.
What'd you say, paternal?
You don't want to be her big brother.
No, more like a father. All right, now I'm getting really sick. All right. We're gonna talk. And we got only a few more things to cover. We're going to talk. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No. What do you got?
I was just looking at your website, and I noticed your Salma Hayek picture.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She's my goddess.
Her breasts are growing like, I don't know. I mean, she must have gained like, I don't know, 20 pounds on her breast. I mean, this... I don't know. She must really be eating well, getting some good nutrition. I don't know. I mean, is this an illusion or
I don't know.
Did her breast just double in size overnight?
Well, you know, Mexican food is really, really good.
It must be.
Especially,
must do something to grow breasts really fucking huge. I don't know. Why couldn't she just leave them alone? They were great to begin with.
I don't think she's doing anything, man.
No. Those are not her real breasts. She did something.
Yeah.
Fuck with
them. Absolutely. No.
No, dude. No. They're obscene now.
You gotta hang out like a little more to the southern states, man. Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of tiny women, very, very busty, tiny women right here.
She did something surgically to fuck up her breasts.
No, I don't think she did.
Yeah.
Nope.
Anyways, I don't want to get...
All right, hidden.
We do the important issues on this show, okay? We don't talk about breasts, at least not while we're not on the air.
Yes, you do. Of course you do.
No, don't talk about breasts.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what about that?
What about breasts?
Did you? Oh. I was just thinking of the...
We talk about our homosexual... gay lovemaking. What were you saying?
You're going after a certain audience, aren't you?
What were you saying?
Oh,
nothing. No, you were saying something.
What was I saying? Shit. I forgot.
Okay, you are failing in your Ed McMahon. You know, the next 22 seconds of...
You said that you wanted to... Something about Reverend Stang and then something about...
I don't know if I have the time and the energy to fit Stang into today's show.
How about Paris Hilton?
Yeah, we'll do Hilton. Okay?
Right, then. What else was there? There was something else, wasn't there?
Whatever it is, we'll get to it. But
okay.
let's just hit and run.
Hit and run.
By the way, I am the pioneer of hit and run radio. Just so anyone, and I'm going to put a trademark on that. Just like Paris Hilton has put a trademark on That's Hot. Okay? If you look Paris up, and this is free. You could find this out. Public information. You can look it up. Look her up at United States Patent Trademark Office, USPTO.gov. Paris Hilton owns the trademark to quote "That's Hot," unquote.
No.
Yes. Okay.
Jesus.
And you know she could goods and services, and she could use this fucking thing. She has the right to put this thing on. This is a whole huge list of shit that she said she's using this. To give you some example, games, playthings, clothing, footwear, button pins. Paris Hilton owns That Hot. Okay? And there was, you know, this was filing date 2004. I believe she owns this. I see nothing. I see there was no opposition to it from what I can see. So normally when you put a trademark in, when you apply for a trademark, you submit the application and people could file an opposition. Okay. But it costs something like $200 or $300 or some. So if, the common man can't really do anything, can't afford to oppose Paris's, ownership of That's Hot. Okay? But
Isn't it Donald Trump wanted to get you're fired and they wouldn't let him or something like that? What's the difference between this and That's Hot?
The only difference is that probably no one opposed it. Okay? And I don't know, maybe she has some legitimacy to the claim, but I don't think so, because I've been saying That's Hot since before Paris was born. For example, when I sip a really hot cup of coffee that I get from McDonald's, I go, "That's hot."
Yeah, do you have to pay her a nickel or something every time you use the word?
You can't. You can't. She owns it. It's just like Stang. We'll get into that on the next show. Stang owns the word subgenius.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it's interesting. What's interesting about Stang is that he applied for his... I'll get into it. I'll get into Stang as long as we're at it.
Right.
He originally in 1982 he applied for a trademark the Church of the Subgenius, okay, in 1982, and in the goods and services in his description, it was rejected, by the way. In the description, it says, this is part of the description, charitable, scientific, missionary, and philanthropic, help me, McMahon.
I don't know what you're reading.
And help me pronounce the word, philanthropic.
Philanthropic, that's it.
Isn't it philanthropic? Who the fuck knows? Of J.R. Bob Dobbs, his followers and converts, and others in agreement with and support of the philosophy of the Church of the Subgenius and soliciting money for use. Okay. soliciting money. Okay, this was rejected, okay, because it says no claim is made to the exclusive right to use, quote, church, apart, unquote, apart from the mark as shown. So include a church. You can't trademark the name church, okay? Now, it's interesting. He waits all these years, 20 years later, in 2003. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe get it up. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. But now he just tries some genius. He tries to trademark that in 2003. Okay? And that was approved. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So he actually does own that. And I thought that was part of, you know, that may have been part of his whole, you know, the whole fabrication thing, you know. But he actually does own that. And let me just say, as long as we're on the topic of Stang and the Church of Sub Genius, is that what it's come to my attention that a prior broadcast, and I think it's something you produced, or you were a part of at least.
Me?
Yeah, Salt in the Slack. Salt in the Slack.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't produce that.
You didn't produce? Okay. But, I don't know. You may not produce it, but it was on your thing at Radio for All.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, that was in, it was come to my attention that is in the official hour of Slack.
Ah, very cool.
No, it's not cool. Let me tell you why that ain't cool. Okay.
All right.
Oh, we're at fucking 57 minutes already. All right. This is why it ain't cool, because you know something? This is copyrighted material, my show. It's my intellectual property. And this is what really bugs me, okay? You can buy these CDs for like 14, these volumes of Slack CDs, huge volumes for $14.95 a pop, okay? I don't get a fucking royalty for my intellectual property. It was just taken from me.
Okay?
Hold on. And B, you know, if you're a radio station, for $5, you can buy the right to replay this material. So the good reverend who owns this fucking shyster, okay?
Hey, let me just point out.
Go ahead.
Imagine of how much it would cost you to advertise your station on all the stations that Reverend Stang.
Hold on here. When did I receive an ounce of credit for my labor?
you received credit. I'm sure he mentioned your name and your website.
No,
he heard it.
No, he didn't. Where?
Well, if he didn't, then.
Where is it? Where is it written? Point that out to me. I don't think it is. There's nothing to indicate that my intellectual property, what?
Which show was it on?
Oh, something like, I think it was last week's show or something.
920,
like.
992.
Oh, I don't remember right now.
Find out.
It was a very recent one, and he plays it within the first 10 minutes of the show. It was like
that's
the last
awesome,
show.
Dude.
No, it's not awesome. It's not awesome because it's my intellectual property that he's making money on it, that he stole from me, and now he's profiting from it. Okay? You think it's funny, but the thing is, I'm being exploited. You're being exploited because you're paying for membership in this organization. Okay? You know something?
Oh, no. I think you're missing the spirit of it.
Help me.
You're totally missing the point.
The spirit of theft and exploitation?
The spirit of Slack. Lighten up.
No, man, I'm not lining up. And you know something? If a miracle happens, if I ever become like rich and famous, I'm going after the son of a bitch for my royalty. I've got a royalty coming to me every time.
You know what it is? The SAG royalty is, I think it's like 0.07 cents per air.
I want it. I want everything that's coming to me.
If I send you a quarter, will you shut up?
No. I want the money from Stang. I want it from Stang, and I want it for each sale he made. Okay? And, you know, okay. I want my money.
Okay.
It's my property, man. All right. Let me see.
That's about it.
Yeah, I think we covered everything. Wow, I think we. The only thing we didn't cover is the Donald. But well, it's only an hour in, and you know, no one's listening at this point. I'll save that for the next show. Okay. Anyways, let me get on to credits now. Did you have something to say about your award? Award you won?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Would you like to talk about that?
Just really quickly, Upstart Radio America won an award, the best political station of Live365.com. And you can check us out at upstartradio.com.
Yeah, and I'm on that station.
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
Actually, I'm airing the Sultan of Slack, too.
Well, that's fine. You know, it's not like you're making any money off of me, so it doesn't bother me. And you're giving me credit, too.
And it's advertising. Hell, yeah.
No, it's not advertising. You're giving me advertising. You're helping me. Stang is not helping me. He's exploiting me. All right. Let me have some water and go on to the credits. Hold on. Sing a song while I'm picking the water.
Oh, my kitty cat craves chicken.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ed. Okay. You know, I want to say one more thing. I'm really unsure about the future of. I don't know if we can continue because I'm having some real trouble with audio, okay? I'm sure if I could continue to do. If I continue having, and I can't figure it out, I don't know if I could continue doing the show with Reverend Vic. I really love doing it with Reverend Vic. He does a great job. He's just the perfect Ed McMahon, you know, because no, I'm serious. You know something? I used to have another guy, you know, that used to help me, you know, co-host the show, and he would always try to, like, usurp my authority, and you know, he always wanted to be number one and all that shit, but you know your place, okay?
Thank you.
No, let me just say, no, it's hard to do. Your job is to grease the wheels. Your job is to make me look good, and you do that very well. Okay?
Thank you.
And,
I know that, actually, by the way. I know that that's the point.
Right. You know that. And you do it well.
Well, thank you.
Sure. No, I'm taking you. And, you know, you make me look good. And I really don't want to. I hope that we will come up with the technology to enable us to continue doing the show together. But let me make it clear that I am not firing, okay, Reverend Vic. This is not something that I want to do. Okay, I want to continue doing the show with him. Okay, but the problem is we have to record the show over telephone lines, and it's very difficult. Okay, but let me proceed with the credits. I'd like to thank John Truby for providing us with his music. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I'd like to thank Raymond Lafferty for his production assistance. I'd like to thank the Reverend Vic. Ed McManning the show. Please check out his website at upstartradio.com. I would also like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. The show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. It may be retransmitted provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way. And that message goes especially to you, Stang fucker. I'll see you again next week, at Sunday, 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. Please see our website, talkwarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Goodbye.
Thank you.